So I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. We're going to look a little bit at the Spirit-filled walk. Because that's what we really want to do. We want to walk spiritually with our Father. And to walk spiritually requires two things. It requires, number one, that we rightly divide the word and have that word in our mind. And then it requires that we operate the gift of Holy Spirit, which means the nine manifestations, right? To the best of our ability. In the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ was teaching, and he said an amazing thing. He was preparing people for the things to come. You know, he talked to people about many things that were still future, right? Remember in chapter 4, I think it is, where Nicodemus came to him and he talked to him about being born again. Chapter 3? Thanks. And so in chapter 6, he's teaching his disciples and he's teaching about how he is the bread of life. And he says a bunch of things, and as he taught these things in the synagogue in Capernaum in verse 59, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" He was saying, "I am the bread of life." And he talked about eating his body and drinking his blood. And they thought he was talking about cannibalism or something. Mm-hmm. So they said, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth," or makes alive, right? "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So their spirit, the words of God that he spoke, because he always spoke what his Father God told him to speak, right? So he was speaking God's word, and he said, these words are spirit, they're spiritual. You know, they come from God who is spirit, and Jesus Christ came to declare God and to declare his plan of redemption and to teach about the coming of the kingdom of God. And then he said, and they are life, which is pertaining to what? Eternal life, right? It's life-giving. So in most Christian churches, both of these elements are missing. That's why a lot of times there's no life in them, there's no power, there's no authority. In some churches, either the intellectualism of the word is emphasized, and it sounds good, but again, there's no power. Or there's some churches that emphasize the spirit, but it's not always based on truth. So there's lots of enthusiasm and emotion, but a lot of times there's error, right? They get off on what the word says, So these are two key elements that have to be in balance if we are to walk effectually and spiritually with and for God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And you know, we know how we got the word, right? But we're going to look at this. It says in chapter 1, verse 11, "For I certify you, brethren, or I guarantee you, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ," or from Jesus Christ. And that would be how? By the Spirit, right? The Spirit in us is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Paul received the word of God that he preached by revelation. He didn't get it by man. He didn't get it because he was a Pharisee and he had studied the Old Testament. He didn't, you know, any of those things. He got it because he got it by revelation. Let's go to 2 Timothy. All basic, simple verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture means all scripture, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It's all scripture. And it says it's God-breathed, and we know the word God, or is given by inspiration of God, is the word theopneustos, which literally means it's God-breathed. Because when you speak, you have to breathe, right? You have, it's the air going through your whatever. So it's a figure of speech. You know, goes through the voice box, the vocal cords and all that stuff, and you sound the words. So it's God-breathed. And is profitable. And the word profitable means advantageous or beneficial. It's beneficial, it's advantageous for doctrine. And the word doctrine is literally means instruction, but it's instruction in how to believe the right way about what God tells us. Okay? And then it says it's profitable for doctrine, which shows us when we are off, when we're not believing rightly. I have this cool thing in my car, my new car, and it's on the screen, and it shows the road, and it has the lines where the lane is. So if I go out of the lane, it beeps. It's great. So it tells me when I'm off. It reproves my driving. And that's what God's word does. You know, when we get out of the lane a little bit, it tells us. And then it says, and it's profitable for correction, telling us how to get back. You know, so on my screen, if I go too far to the left, the line on the left turns red. And if I go too far to the right, it turns red on the right. So I know which way to go back. See? And God's word is like that. It tells us how to get back to what's right and how to believe rightly. Now, when you take doctrine, reproof, and correction, you know, we were taught that the church epistles, so for instance, Romans is a doctrinal epistle, Corinthians is a reproof, and Galatians is a correction, and then Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, same thing. Doctrine, reproof, and correction, and then Thessalonians sets apart because it has to do with the return of Christ, right? But all scripture is doctrine, reproof, and correction. So when you're reading the Word of God the first time and you see the way to get born again is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you were taught you had to teach, you had to pray the prayer of a sinner, then it's a reproof, right? It's doctrine, it's instruction, but if you've been doing the wrong thing and you're not really doing what it takes to get born again, because we know that you have to confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, right? So if you don't do that, you're not really born again. The confession of a sinner is not going to get you much of anything except condemnation, probably, and guilt feelings. So all scripture is doctrine, reproof, and correction. You know, now, certainly doctrine is how to believe rightly. So we go through the beginning of Romans and it teaches us about, you know, what Jesus Christ did for us, right? And then Corinthians gets into, you know, how people got off on that stuff and got wrong. But you get into Corinthians, it's the one place where it teaches us about what? The manifestations of Holy Spirit. See? So, which, and it says, and so all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word instruction is the same word as doctrine. And righteousness means in the just way of living, or how to live a just life according to God's standards. That's really what it means. So let's go to 2 Peter. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I think about the word a lot. You know, not just when I'm studying or reading the word, but if I'm driving or I'm walking, or I just think about it. Sometimes I just think about things I'd like to teach and stuff. But I think about a lot. Yesterday I was thinking about how simple the word really is. The greatness of God's word is how simple it really is, and how I was taught how to understand it in a very simple, very direct way. And I'm so thankful for that, because God wants us to understand, right? He wants us. How many times in the Word of God does it say he wants us to have knowledge, to have understanding? You know, so why would he make it difficult? You know, he didn't make it difficult so we would stumble over it or not understand, so he could punish us or beat us up. He made it simple so that we could do the right thing, so that we could walk in his power and his grace, so that we could live a life that he intended, which is a more than abundant life, right? It's a simple word. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, well, verse 20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That's a great thing to know too, right? What a great thing, because there is lots of private interpretation. If you go and invest some time, I wouldn't suggest investing money in books, like, you know, commentaries, but you could go to a library or somewhere, or you could go online and look up some of these commentaries and see what they say about different things in the Bible. And if you get five different commentaries, most likely you're going to get five different opinions. You know, one of the great ones is Paul's thorn in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many interpretations of that, and yet the understanding of it is simple when you learn it, right? Mm-hmm. And the thorns in the flesh came from the adversary, the devil, and he, or Satan. And, you know, how does he work? He works through people. And so you go back and you study that and you see what thorns mean. And you can see it in the Word of God. Simple, if you take the time and you understand how the Word interprets itself. It's not supposed to be privately interpreted. Okay, so, and then it says in verse 21, for the prophecy, all scripture is prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. All prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it didn't come by man's intellectual abilities or musings or philosophizing, by man's mental prowess or acuity. Good word, huh? Acuity? Mm-hmm. Sharpness. Mm-hmm. It came down from God and was given to men who believed. And you know, it's pretty cool, because in 2 Timothy 3:16, it said, all scripture is written down. And here it says that they spake. So it's the Word of God, we get what's written down and what's spoken. Now, we heard manifestations today. That's a spoken word, isn't it? But it will never contradict what God's Word says. So here we have the importance of the word and the importance of spirit, you know, and they work hand in hand, because some of the things we heard in manifestations today were really great, right? They were really important. They're really great, but they didn't contradict anything that the written word said. What a great thing to know. What a great thing to understand. So as you read the word carefully, as you look at records in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you can see how the Word of God and the Spirit of God are intertwined. You can't have one without the other. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, sorry. First Corinthians 12, and this is the section where we learn about the manifestations of Holy Spirit. So we learn about the right and proper use of spiritual things, because the very first verse of chapter 12 says, now concerning spiritual, and the word gifts is in italics, right? Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual matters, right? He wants us to understand how the Spirit works. He wants us to understand how He can work in our lives. Because, you know, the Bible gives us great understanding in every aspect of life. But then, at times, we need some very specific things, don't we? And then God has to give us those specifics by way of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, right? Faith, healing or miracles, things like that. So, chapter 12, verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So God gives us the manifestation, the working of that gift of Holy Spirit to do what? Profit. He gives us the word to profit. They're both for our profit, for our advantage, for our benefit, each one. And you can't ignore one without the other. We learned, or should have learned, you know, when you speak in tongues, it builds you up spiritually, doesn't it? It builds you up spiritually. It's an important thing. So then it says, for to one, and for to one means what? For to one prophet. For one prophet is given the Spirit the word of wisdom. For another, referring to prophet, for another prophet, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another prophet, faith or believing by the same Spirit. To another prophet, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another prophet, the working of miracles. To another prophet, prophecy. To another prophet, discerning of spirits. To another, kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. These are all profitable. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. In other words, we all get the same Spirit, right? And we all can manifest according to our will, to the best of our ability. And a lot of times it's just a matter of confidence and desire. You know, you have to have the desire to want to operate those manifestations. Sometimes people get a little afraid, you know, that it's not going to work, or they'll get embarrassed. Well, the only way you learn is by doing, right? That's the way you learn. It says in Philippians 2:13, I think, it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, he works in us. So he works in us. Sometimes he brings the word of God into our mind. If we don't have that word of God in our mind, he can't bring it to our remembrance, can he? So it's a very important thing. The manifestations of Spirit are given to every man, all of them. You know, and there again, you know, you see where some places they teach their gifts. Well, it doesn't say their gifts, does it? It says their manifestations. Manifestations, workings of the gift. And everybody can manifest all of them, Everybody gets the same thing because God is no respecter of persons, right? He's no respecter of persons, so everybody can manifest, all of them. And as you learn the word, you learn how to do them. You can see how you do them. You can see them operating in men's lives. And if you know the word, then the word keeps you in balance. It keeps you in the right lane with the manifestations even, right? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people will see where Jesus Christ healed a blind man because he spit on the ground and made mud and put it on a guy's eyes. So people will say, well, that's the way to heal somebody with blindness. But he healed, there's at least five different records where he healed blind men. Each one of them is different. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God gave him revelation on what to do with each and every one of those people. That's why. Simple. How come he didn't heal all blind people? Well, because God didn't tell him. And so on. So each manifestation are given to us to profit, to have an advantage, to benefit us. The manifestations are profitable, and God's word is also profitable. God's designed them to work together. He didn't design them to work separate of each other. He designed them to work together. And if we ignore one or the other, it's not to our benefit or our profit. It's to our detriment. Let's go to Matthew 22. Here's another great verse, and you probably all know the context here. We'll start in verse 23. It says, the same day came to him, to Jesus Christ, Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him. So, you know, if you remember when Lazarus died and Jesus Christ went to raise him from the dead, his sister came, one of the sisters, I forget which one, Mary and Martha, and she said, you know, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, well, he's going to rise from the dead. And she said, well, I know it, the resurrection. So she believed in the resurrection. Many Jews believed in the resurrection because it was prophesied of in the Old Testament. It's talked about in Joel, for instance, and other places. But these Sadducees were a sect of the Jewish religion, which had, you know, come about, and they did not believe in the resurrection. Interesting. It's like, you know, there are some Christian churches that don't really believe in the giving of Holy Spirit. Right. They don't believe in it. There are some that they don't believe in devil spirits. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in any of that stuff. They just say it's stories. So what do they believe? Not much. Anyway, so the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, you know, they're trying to butter him up, but they're really trying to catch him in a problem. Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother will marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Speaking of that cultural tradition they had, or actually it was, I think it was part of the law even, that if a man died, his closest relative was supposed to marry the woman and raise up a child, right? A son. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he said, married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. What a problem. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You're all screwed up because you don't know the scriptures. You know, you don't know the scriptures. And then he says, or the power of God, which represents what? Spirit, right? Because in Acts chapter 1, what does it say? That if thou, let's see, what does it say? I'll read it to you. Don't go there. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, the power of God represented spirit, the spiritual power, you know, the power of God given to men. In the Old Testament, that spirit was upon them, and those guys walked with power like Moses, like Jeremiah, like, you know, Joshua, all those guys. They walk with the power of God in their life. And that word power is the word dunamis. The power of God is associated with the giving of spirit, right? A spiritual walk. So they erred, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. They were screwed up on the word of God. They were screwed up on the spirit of God. And, you know, what did, again, Jesus Christ say to Nicodemus when he came to visit him? He talked about receiving spirit, didn't he? He said, you're a Pharisee. You should know this. You're one of these guys that studies the scriptures. You should know that God has promised the giving of spirit. But he didn't. They didn't understand the word of God, and they had no clue about the spirit of God and power. They just didn't. See? And that's what we need to have in our lives. The word of God and the spirit of God. Both of those things work together. Let's go to 2 Peter again. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, according as his divine power, the word divine is the word theos. It's not the word for God, it's T-H, God is T-H-E-O, theo. But theos, T-H-E-I-O-S, and it means godly. Okay? So it says, according as his godly power hath been given to us, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us everything that we need for life and godliness through a knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him, how do we get a knowledge of him? From the word of God, right? But then, you know, we get that word of God, we get that spirit, and that spirit helps us to have greater understanding, doesn't it? You know, Jesus Christ told the apostles that they would receive spirit and that spirit would lead them into the all truth. The all truth would be what was presented in the church epistles. And they could understand it. You ever talk to somebody and try to tell them something out of Ephesians and they look at you like they glaze over like, that makes no sense at all. Yeah, like a deer in headlights. You know, because if they don't have spirit, a lot of the stuff can't be understood. But you could take them to the Old Testament and read them something, and they'll understand it. Now, they may reject it, but they could understand it, right? Because it's written to a natural man. So it says here that, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, all things that pertain to life and godliness, our vital spiritual relationship with God. A spiritual relationship. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So here it talks about knowledge. We get knowledge from the word of God. And it talks about the spirit, or that spiritual power that we're going to have, the great and precious promises and the divine nature. What's the divine nature? That Holy Spirit that we have in us. What a great thing. So we learn from the word of God. We learn how to get born again. We learn from the Word how to receive Holy Spirit and how to manifest it. And it is that Spirit that gives us the depth of understanding of the Word. It is the Spirit that helps to open the eyes of our understanding. It is the Word that gives us standards and parameters of life so we don't misuse the Spirit. And we walk with that spiritual walk, renewing the mind to God's Word and manifesting that Spirit. And when we do that, we produce what?
Fruit.
Fruit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. You know, and we all should want to have a fruitful life, shouldn't we?
Yes.
We all want to produce fruit. And look at the fruit that we produce when we have that life that God has given us. In chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," and the word Spirit there is that totality of the new birth Spirit. It's that we manifest Holy Spirit, that we're walking spiritually, and it's that Word in us that keeps us on the right road. And so that Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or believing, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Are there any of those things that you don't want? You know, we all want those things, right? Mm-hmm. What a great thing it is to have love in your life, true love, real love. Mm-hmm. What a great thing it is to have joy and peace, you know, to have long-suffering, meekness, and temperance. You know, all these things are great qualities to have in life. And we can have them as we walk on the Word, as we manifest that Spirit in our lives, as we walk a Spirit-filled life. That's what we produce. That's what we should have in our lives. And if you don't have it, well, you know, you can work on it, can't you? You can work at having that Spirit-filled life. You can work at having those things in your life. So, Father God, we just thank you for giving us the Word and giving us your Spirit and how we can live a full and balanced life in our walk with you, that we can see the greatness of your Word living in our hearts, that we can see the power of your Spirit in us, and that we can manifest that Spirit day by day, that we live above the world, not in the world. We thank you, Father, that you can just watch over us, keep us safe, and continue to show us and teach us and help us to live that more than abundant life. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.